Hello, good morning. Welcome to worship. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are glad you are here. Thank you for coming. We hope that the music will create an atmosphere of worship and that the hymns will turn your hearts to God. We hope that the creed will give you an opportunity to examine and to affirm your faith, that the scripture readings will engage your minds in thinking on God's Word, and that the message will challenge you, and that the fellowship will assure you that you are among friends. On the right-hand side of your bulletin in the church calendar box, you'll see the events of the upcoming week. On 6:30 p.m., we normally have a supper in the Ed Building at 6:30 p.m. This week, if it happens, it'll be a potluck. So be sure and bring something if you're able to come. And that'll be at 6:30. That'll be followed by Bible study and prayer. Our next family fellowship luncheon will be June the 17th, hosted by Ronnie and Patricia Oswalt. And the women in the church will have their Bible study on Tuesday night, June the 5th, at 5:30 p.m. Down at the bottom of the right-hand side, you'll see question 67 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question 67 asks, which is the sixth commandment? And the answer is, our call to worship this morning comes from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Would you read it with me from your bulletin, responsibly? Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. He makes my feet like the deer's. Please stand now and let's sing together the doxology. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God of our salvation, You are our joy and strength. You are indeed worthy of our worship. There's no higher good in all the universe than to worship You, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has dominion over all things and governs all things according to your will. May the resolve of Habakkuk the prophet be our resolve, so that even in the midst of economic disaster and deprivation, we shall still be able to say, yet we will rejoice in the Lord. We will take joy in the God of our salvation. Sanctify our worship, we pray, in the name of Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Our first hymn as we worship this morning is number 181. So please take your hymn book and turn to 181. And if you're able, please stand and let's sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. We come, O Christ, to you. Join me. Let's affirm our faith together using the ancient Apostles' Creed. Christian, what is it that you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Agnes Montgomery called last night and said that her grandson, Andy Weeks, right, his house burned down yesterday. And so it's her son is Kenny Weeks, and it's his son. And the house burned down. I guess they live over in the Delta somewhere around Charleston. But so anyway, she asked us to pray for them. They were not hurt, but the house burned to the ground and they lost all their possessions. So she said she wouldn't be here today, and that she asked us to pray for them. So we will please remember them in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, God of our salvation, we thank you for the gospel of justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to your own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom you poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins as we confess them to you. Forgive us for seeking our pleasures elsewhere and putting the seeking of idols above seeking you. We have failed to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And we have failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us for our sins and grant that we might serve you in newness of life. We pray for the shut-ins, for James Knox Badley, for Martha Davis, and for Mary Ellen Lovelady, that you would brighten their days. We pray for our country, for our president, vice president, Congress, for our state and local leaders, that they would seek to be guided by the great principles of your word, and that you would uphold them in that and grant us a peaceful society in which the gospel can be preached and prosper. We pray for missionaries of Christ all over the world who are boldly spreading the gospel. We pray for their safety, for their sustenance, and that the message of God's word would go forth and be fruitful. We pray for the missionaries listed in our bulletin that we know personally, including the Bowlings in Mexico, the Chaplains with Mission to the World, the Davilas in Costa Rica, the Dahogues in Tunisia, the Hills in Peru, the Pattersons with Wycliffe Bible Translators, for the Romains in New York City working with Turkish Muslims, for Alan Cochet and Anne, for Larry Brown at African Bible College in Malawi. We pray for Ago Agonies and the 25 Haitian pastors on the island of Laganov in Haiti that are being helped by Steve Jameson and by our presbytery, Covenant Presbytery. We pray for these missionaries that their needs would be supplied and that they would be properly equipped and for the advancement of the kingdom of God through the preaching of the gospel through them. And Lord, we pray that you would raise up and send out more workers into the harvest, for the work indeed is plentiful and the workers are few. We pray for Agnes Montgomery's grandson and family whose house burned yesterday and lost everything. We're thankful that their lives were spared, and we pray for them in reestablishing themselves with a home and replacement belongings. We pray for Clay Ashford as he flies home from New York City this afternoon, that he would have a safe flight and return safely back here. We pray for Letty Blackwood as she continues to heal. And we pray for Bernie Jensen as he battles aggressive ALS. We pray for others who are recuperating from sicknesses and rehabbing surgeries in our midst. We pray for the preaching of Your Word today, that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our minds to understand it and what our obligations are in light of it. Open our eyes to understand something of the great inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus. Let the message of Your Word grip our hearts and change us from the inside, so that we shall be willing to be true disciples of Jesus Christ in this culture. We pray it all in His name. Amen. We are reading through the Psalms for our responsive readings, and this morning our responsive reading comes from Psalm 142. You can find that in the back of your Trinity hymnal on page 837. Would you please turn there and let's read together responsively Psalm 142. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is You who know my way. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I cry to You, O Lord, I say, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise Your name. Our next hymn is number 301. 301. Join all the glorious names. If you're able, please stand and turn to 301, and let's continue to worship God, singing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Seated, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to receive our morning offering. Our Father in heaven, You have told us in Your Word that You love cheerful givers. And so I pray that we might give cheerfully this morning and that You would accept our offerings as worship to You. And we pray that You would bless it to extend the kingdom of Christ in this place and even unto the ends of the earth. We pray it in His name. Amen. Message this morning comes from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. From Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And this is what it says. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. This is the Word of God. The grass withers, flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. We'll bring a message from that text after the choir sings at this time.
Oh.
passage of Scripture we are looking at today begins with instructions pertaining to a Christian's duty to the state, a subject that Paul deals with in other passages like Romans chapter 13, and then moves into a discussion of the principle of grace and the salvation of human beings. Right in the middle of the passage, in verse 5, it says, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." He refers back to God our Savior in verse 4. And then verse 5 says, "He saved us." And that is the predominant theme of this passage. God Himself has saved us. And He's speaking primarily to Titus there, one of His associates. Saved is a good biblical word, and it's a common word in the vocabulary of the church. The core of our Christian faith is about salvation. It's about God saving sinners from eternal destruction. The word saved has become a distinctively Christian term. Though in the Greek language, the original verb, which is translated saved, could mean deliverance from any sort of thing. It was a word used to describe rescuing someone from danger, for preserving someone's life safe from harm, for delivering someone out of potential ruin and disaster, rescuing someone in the midst of death. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, a number of times there are such usages of the word in temporal ways. One comes to mind particularly in Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, where the disciples who were in a storm on the Sea of Galilee called upon Jesus. They said, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And they weren't talking about spiritual salvation. They were talking about physical deliverance from a storm that was about to take their lives, they thought. So the verb speaks of rescuing someone in imminent, grave, serious, and threatening danger or disaster. In the spiritual sense, however, which is its main usage in the New Testament, it has the idea of being saved from sin, being rescued from sin, from sin's power, from sin's penalty, from being preserved and unharmed from divine wrath, from judgment, from hell, from eternal punishment. R.C. Sproul wrote a book a few years ago entitled "Saved from What?" And in that book, he explained that we are saved from the wrath of God. We know and love the word saved, and most of us understand what it means. We talk about being saved. We talk about salvation. We sing about salvation. We have sung about salvation this morning. This passage is about salvation. So the first thing that I want to say that is clear from this passage is that salvation is according